Am I on? Yep. One, two. And the youth are leaving? That's okay, because they're going to get the tape and they're going to listen to it, because a lot's for them too tonight. So that's okay, right? Amen. Can you hear me okay? Everybody all right? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just want to thanks for being here tonight and being a part of the family of God. You know, God's family would not be the same without you. I mean, it's important to know that. You know, it really is, because God paid an awesome price for each and every one of us. So, and how many came to receive tonight? Amen? Yeah, me too. I mean, I'll tell you, because the Lord promised me as I was putting this together, he told me, you can go ahead and put the title up if you want, Tony. Thank you. That as I share tonight, I'm not going to be teaching specifically on healing, how to get healed, how to get delivered, or anything like that. That's going to be a part of it, because God's going to show up tonight, and he's going to meet you where you are at and where you need to be healed, delivered, set free, in anything that you need, he's going to show up. Does that mean he only shows up when I'm here? No, I did not say that. But he's going to show up, because as I was preparing this message, he said, I want you to teach on tidbits. Everybody say tidbits. Tidbits of things that you have learned and things that I have shown you and that individuals in the church can take and devour those tidbits, have it become a part of them, and they'll receive from that tidbit. Okay, I like to barbecue, and I like to cut the little tidbits off. You can't eat that first. You know, and that's just, you know, the Lord's just instructed me that this is what we're going to do tonight. Okay? The title of the message is Hear and Be Healed. Yeah. Hear and Be Healed. Well, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, we're going to find out what hearing, everybody say hearing, what hearing has to do. Let's go with our first verse. We're going to read a couple of verses. And as we read the verses, I'm going to give you some instructions too with this. If God starts to move upon you as this service goes, okay, just, I beg you, receive it. Okay? Yes. He may ask you to get up and shout. Do it. Because, see, you heard his voice and you'll be healed. Okay? He may ask you to run around the building. Do it. Because you're hearing his voice. He wants you healed. Okay? We're going to find out why it's so important to hear what God has to say, and not what the world has to say, not what the devil has to say, even not what our kids have to say at times, because we have to pray for our children, amen, because they're being pulled and they're hearing other things. Okay, the first verse, Ecclesiastes 1:9, in the New King James, it says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Oh my gosh. So we're saying here, what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, that which has been done, it's going to be done again. And I want you to think about this, because healing is in that category. This isn't just talking about things that are in the future for technology, last days. These are things that are happening right now. And we're going to go through some scriptures in here, what Jesus did, and this verse goes right along. What he did, it's going to be done again. Okay? Let's go to the next verse. In Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored or begged him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as testimony to Moses and them, who are just as Moses commanded. The reason why Jesus said, don't tell anybody, the reason is because if anybody touched somebody with leprosy, according to Levitical law, that person or priest had to go through 7 days of cleansing. Okay? So Jesus, he's in an important position here. He's got some things to do. He touches him, leprosy leaves, and he says, don't tell them that I touched you. Just go pay the offering unto Moses because you are healed. Okay? This is why he's telling them that. However, the report went round concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to what? To hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Okay? They came to hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Let's go to Luke 6, 17 and 19. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, we're going to talk about that place in a minute, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Okay? Are we catching what the scripture is saying so far? Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Tonight we're also going to talk about some things that we're going to get rid of a misconception that's been fed to us from the media about what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. We're going to have a word of prayer right now. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is life and it's health to all our flesh. Give us the ears to hear, Father, what you're saying to us tonight. Give us the ears to hear from your word so that we may just ingest it in our bodies, in our spirits, in our minds. We ask, Father, that as your word goes forth tonight, it'll be unhindered by any satanic force, and that it will be planted on good soil, and it will produce that which you have said it would produce. I'm asking you, Father, for more of you and less of me, and we ask you, Heavenly Father, just to move mightily in our midst, which you promised us that you'd do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a little story here of a preacher friend of that I know. It says, one day, as I was on my way to an auditorium to begin the afternoon, he had what was called a healing school, okay? A healing school service. And actually, an unseen or someone that he could feel around him but spoke out loud to him, and it said, hear and be healed. I didn't pay much attention. I went ahead and conducted the service. But the next afternoon, in the same place, at the same time, I heard the words, hear and be healed. On the third day, as I was ready to enter the auditorium, the same voice said to me, hear and be healed. I wrote that down and later asked myself, is the Holy Spirit saying something to me? Is there something in the Bible, in the scriptures, about hearing and being healed? Does hearing have anything to do with being healed? Emphatically, yes. A lot of people want to be healed, but they do not want to hear anything. They just want healing. Okay? Let's go. Wait, we got to go to another verse. I don't want to take too long tonight because I got, 3 hours? Okay. Tonight's message, I'm telling you though, is really a three-part message, okay? But it's condensed into one, and if the Lord opens up to do other parts, then we will. But there's a lot to it, and I can only do so much, okay? We're going to go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Okay, and if you have your Bibles, yeah, make sure you bring your Bibles. We're just putting it up here in the New King James because that seems to be the scriptures that most people have, which is good. But what we're going to do is if you have your Bible and your translation and things, get to know it, okay? Really mark it up. The reason is because when you mark up your scriptures and when you read that, did you know that it gets implanted right here? Yeah. Somebody says John 3:16, and the first thing that comes to your mind is not the numbers, John 3:16, and the letters. No. If you wrote it in yellow, yellow comes up. If you wrote it in pink, highlighted, whatever, that comes up, and then you'll remember that verse. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Okay, we're going to be talking about a situation here when Jesus was in his own country of Nazareth. Remember what happened in that time? To refresh your memory, let's do this. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to what? Teach. Okay? Jesus was a teacher also. To teach in the synagogue or in the church. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things?" Where did he get these things? Okay? What was it? Whatever he was teaching, okay? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives." Everybody's got relatives, right? Okay. "And in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." Okay? We've often heard it said that Jesus would not do any miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. I need to correct that. The scripture says he could not. Who do you think limited God in that situation? The people who were hearing their unbelief. Jesus, we read it there, that he was teaching, was he not? He was teaching. And the individuals in Nazareth were saying, "Where is he getting all this information? Wait a minute, this is the carpenter and his family. We know them all. They're a bunch of rats like me." This is what they were saying. And they would not believe what he had to say. Now, in the Amplified Scriptures and in the Hebrew Scriptures, it actually says that Jesus actually laid hands on just a few sick folks with minor ailments. That was it. Like a cold or the flu, you know, maybe arthritis or something, you know, small, headaches, okay? Even though they could be big, but they were small. Why didn't more people get healed in Nazareth? Scripture says because of their unbelief. That's right. And I want to take it one step further. They did not believe what they were hearing. They didn't believe what they were hearing. Yeah. Say, "How? What? You mean to tell me, yes, you can be healed because I said you could?" And they're saying, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all." Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 24. This is a good scripture to mark in your Bible. Mark 4, 24. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given." Take heed, and I want you to circle the word in your scriptures, because almost every translation has the word "what you hear." He says, "Take heed what you hear." Heed, heed. What does that word really mean? It's an old English word, but in the Hebrew and the Greek, it actually means the same thing. It means to listen and gaze upon with your eyes wide open. Listen and gaze upon with your eyes wide open. Coaches who coach football, baseball, whatever, when the coach is trying to instruct a player and they don't take heed to the coach, they're looking all glassy-eyed, and the coach knows it, he'll say, "Sit down." Or she, because, but Jesus is saying, listen, and with your eyes fixed, wide open, so that you're not taken by surprise. Okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Okay, now you got that, right? Take heed what? Everybody say what? What? Okay, you shall hear. And then Luke 8:18 says, it's almost the same thing, but we're going to put these together. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Is that a difference? What and how? Okay, there's a difference. Jesus is trying to prove something to us here, because I know, and I can't go too far. How you hear, for whatever or whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Jesus said, take heed what you hear, and take heed how you hear. Aren't they kind of the same thing? I'm going to give you a classic example, and we're going to go in Luke chapter 4. Starting with verse 1 all the way to 13. This is kind of a Bible study tonight, but when you go through this, it's going to make sense to you. And when you hear the scriptures from this night on, you're going to go, what am I hearing and how am I hearing this? You're going to say that to yourself, okay? Oh, this is really good. Okay, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Most of us know this story, right? But let's keep going with what I've already shared. But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me." Wonder who delivered it to him. But anyway, "and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." Who's saying this? Satan. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands, lest you shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Before we read the next, who said that scripture? The devil, right? Okay, the devil was tempting, saying something. Jesus was combating with scripture. And then the devil decided to use scripture, okay? Be careful what you hear and how you hear it. Then Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said. Notice how he did not say, it is written. He didn't just, you know, like play that game with the hands and things like that. No, no. He says, it has been said. Do you know why Jesus said, it has been said? Because what cast him out of heaven? Not it is written. He says, get out of here. It has been said. God spoke to him directly. And in the book of Ezekiel says that when Jesus quoted it saying, I saw Satan descending as a bolt of lightning. So he was basically showing him, I already have the authority. You can't give it to me. You don't have that kind of authority, you know. Nobody can take my life except I lay down my life. He's basically saying it to the devil, and then the devil just kind of goes, uh-oh, uh-oh. He's getting the shakes, he's feeling it, because he says, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. End of story, right? Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Be careful what you hear and how you hear. Okay, that's an example that Jesus went through it, but he showed us, wait a minute, who's the greater one in you? The scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, only Jesus could talk to the devil that way. Not so, not so, not so, not so. The devil quoted scriptures to Jesus. How did Jesus handle hearing the word of God coming from the devil? There was no authority in it. There was no power in it. The devil was just like a parrot saying things from the word of God. There's no power in it. Speaking the word with the anointing is the most important thing. When hearing the word from somebody who is anointed, it'll change your life. And I'm going to share for you guys the difference between a gift and an anointing. There's the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to talk about that, the gifts of the Spirit, because that's all done by the same Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But when a person sings or a person speaks and they're well gifted, okay, the person who has that gift will receive praise and admonishment, and it will uplift people. And that person will get uplifted with the gift. And there is nothing wrong with that. But you know it can be taken to another level, okay? They want to get worshipped and all this kind of stuff. But there's nothing wrong with having a gift. But what about an anointing? Or an anointed gift? That'll break a yoke where a gift will not. Think about that. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, write that in your Bible. I didn't give it to Tony. That's where that scripture is found. It's the anointing. Isaiah 10, 27. It's the anointing that will break the yoke of bondage. So we know that when we're in bondage to something, we know it, and we pray for God to take it away. Then God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And you go, amen, amen, amen. And then he says, get into the anointing. You get into the anointing, and it'll break the yoke of bondage. It'll do that. This is what God's really wanting us to know. When I was in the hospital having my surgery, and anybody who's been in the hospital for a number of days, you can probably vouch for this. Sitting in the hospital and laying there, and I had my Bible sitting to the side over there, but you could feel the despair inside the hospital. You could feel it, the disparity, okay? And I'm just going, oh, Lord, Lord, I just want to hear your word. Could you imagine in the hospitals having it piped throughout the whole hospital, nothing but the scriptures? Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my, I'm telling you. Right, Pastor Tony? I'm telling you. It would just set people free in the hospital. Now, medical doctors, I thank God for them. I have two daughters who are nurses, and just the medical profession is wonderful. A lot of us would not be here without it. Amen? But there's something more. There's something more. And if there's a way that God could move and just soften people's hearts, administrators' hearts, to get the word of God just flowing through the whole building in everybody's room. Oh, I craved it in the hospital. I was going, you know, and then just have that the anointing be there. Oh, because hospitals are filled with despair. Sure, there's hope and people come and do things, but that despair has to be broken. Oh, man. Have you ever been so desperate to want to hear the word of God? Oh.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 28. I'm going to show you a woman who was desperate, okay? And she needed to hear something. She needed to hear something. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there at a certain place and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Okay, we read that in Luke chapter 6, in Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. Was he being rude? Biblically, and because that he was operating in the function of a rabbi, he is out of his jurisdiction. That's why they placed the cities up there. So he under Levitical law, he had no right to talk to her. He's out of his rabbinical jurisdiction. Okay? That's simple from Hebrew graphics, okay? But also, it was a woman, okay? Where was her husband? Okay? Back in those days, women can't just walk up to men, "Hey, buddy, how's it going?" You cannot do that. Okay, but she's there crying out to him. He answered her not. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's answering his disciples, not to her with this. Okay? Then she came and worshiped him. First she tried desperation. Now she's trying worship, okay, saying, "Lord, help me," okay? But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, children's bread, what was she asking for? Deliverance for her daughter. So Jesus is actually saying deliverance is our bread. Is that not what he's saying here? Okay. He said, "Take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." Deliverance, okay? And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." What a statement. And that's in the echoes of history for her to give that statement. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." She heard the word of Jesus. "Let it be to you as you desire." Okay? And her daughter was healed from that very hour. It doesn't say it was instant. It says from that very hour. I believe that she heard the word from Jesus, and as she was going home, doubt started coming up in her. And it took a while for her to just, as she's getting closer to home, "My daughter's healed. She's well." Sometimes healings take a little bit of time. Sometimes they come instantly. But we still have to keep it. We still have to keep our healing. Oh, man. Have you ever been that desperate where you'll try anything to God or with God? Anything? Anything? Oh, my gosh. Anything? Praise you, Jesus. And let's go with verse 29, verse 29 through 31. Right after this case right here, when he healed the daughter without being there, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, now he went around it, and went up on the mountain and sat down there on the mountain. Everybody say, on the mountain. Okay, he's on a mountain. He's not sitting on the next to the sea. It was really specific, saying he skirted around it and went up on a mountain and sat down. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. If you were to look at this in the Hebrew Scriptures and the Greek, and also in the Old King James, it actually says that the people cast them at Jesus' feet. Now just think, you're having to carry a lame person up the mountain. You're having to walk blind people up the mountain. You think you're going to be a little tired and discouraged? Okay? And it's like Jesus is just sitting there. He's not helping them at all. He's not saying, come on, come on, come on, come on over here. Let's sit over here. He's just sitting there. He wants to see our faith. The people came and they cast him at his feet, and the scripture says he healed them. Is that not what it says? Okay. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. I have a missionary friend who ministers in Indonesia, in different parts of that part of the world. And this missionary was ministering. He was having a revival service. It was an outdoor service. Listen to this. This is just, it ties into, be careful what you hear and how you hear it. As he was ministering, he had an interpreter. And he's ministering, he's sharing the word, and this interpreter was sharing, just kind of following his hand movements and things like that. And just before he gets ready for an altar call, then he would see hundreds of people. They started coming forth and then dropping pens, you know, ink pens on the platform. And he's going, did I ask for any pens, Lord? You know, he didn't know what to think of that. All right? And so as people were still coming and dropping ink pens on the platform, he asked the interpreter, just said, why are they bringing pens? And she said, because you said, if you want to receive your healing, come up and bring a pen. Okay? Mistranslation there, where she didn't hear it properly, because evidently his microphone cut out, and she was standing by the side, and she didn't actually hear it that well, so she just said something that just kind of came out that way. And he's going, well, I've got all these pens, and all these people are coming forward to receive their healing because they had a pen. Okay, and he asked, Lord, he says, Lord, I know you're going to honor your word, because if I said that, which I didn't, but she said that, those people believed you said that, so they're acting in their faith, so let's go. So he had a big old healing line up there, and people were just falling under the power. They were getting healed and delivered, thinking, though, that they did it because they had a pen. Okay? The next night, had a service, same thing, and he was asking people to come forward who needed to receive healing. And he noticed to the left side, he was about 12-year-old boy. He had no legs, and he was just, you know, crawling on his hands. And he was crawling on his hands, and I'm going to do my best to not weep, so bear with me. And he had a pen in his fingers. He was there the day before, and he couldn't make it because he was in the back. He was in the back. After he had there wasn't that many people at this healing service, and he crawled up the stairs and dropped his pen next to Roger, the minister. And he said, Lord, what do I do? I know he's here for healing, but he also has the pen. Because that wasn't said today, it was yesterday. And the Lord said, tell him to come back tomorrow. Is that mean? Is that harsh? I don't know. But he was just obedient. He just said to the little boy, he dropped his pen right there, he took it from him and said, the Lord wants you to come back tomorrow. And the boy, without saying a word, just turned and hobbled back down. No matter how far he lived or whatever, the next night, the boy was there when he was on the side. He came back the next night. Came time for the altar call. The boy comes up. He crawls up this platform. And he gets there, and the Lord said, tell him to come back tomorrow. And it's like, are you sure? He tells the boy. The boy crawls down, and he leaves. The next night comes. He's over by the side. You know, just calloused hands, because that's all he's walking on. And he comes up to the platform at the altar call. And the Lord says, bring him close. So he had him come close. And he leaned down and he says, by the authority of the name of Jesus, because of your obedience, of what you heard, okay, receive your healing. Legs grew in the boy, and he was completely healed. It is documented today. Yeah. Now, just think about it. You have no legs, and you're crawling, okay? 3 days. 4 days, really, because the first day he tried to make it. Okay? But our God is a miracle-working God. Be careful what you hear. Know what you hear. Okay? The misunderstanding that Jesus about his earthly ministry is that Jesus just floated around like a bee, healing people, whatever he wanted to do. You know, if he was, oh, I don't feel like healing you today, or some people he would call and other people he wouldn't. He didn't do that. He had purpose in everything he did. He taught, he preached, the assignment that God the Father gave him. If he did not do that, then he's an unjust God. He had an assignment. We have an assignment. We need to take time to find our assignment as to what he's calling us to do. Oh, whatever it is, it will be glorious in his sight. Whatever it is, whatever it is. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36, we're almost done. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what? Teaching in their synagogues and what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He taught and he preached and then he healed. Okay? Taught. Preached and healed. Oh, well, Larry, there's so many examples. Jesus was in a certain city, then he just healed them. Well, wait a minute. If you go back through the scriptures, you'll find out what cities he was at and what cities he taught and he preached, and those people heard something. And it had time to grow, and Jesus is there again. Healing takes place. Healing takes place. And in Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, now it happened on another Sabbath, also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. Almost the same example about the boy. All right, stand here. Stand here. Come over here. Okay? And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to him, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. He was teaching. Now, this was in the church. In the church. Okay? Yeah, there's sickness and disease in the church. And God, what does Jesus say about it? Let's get him healed. Let's get him healed. Let's do this. Okay? This is his desire. What did Jesus teach when he was in the synagogue? Can anybody tell me? That was a trick question. Jesus taught Isaiah 61. You could write this down. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 62, Isaiah 6, 9, and or 9 and 10. Okay? If you read those chapters, Isaiah 61, Isaiah 62, and Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, those scriptures do nothing but share that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, to raise the dead, to give sight to the blind. These are those scriptures. And that's what Jesus taught. That's what he preached. Because they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and 1 Timothy. And he didn't have that yet. So what did they have? They had the law. They had the law. But what Jesus taught about the law, he taught liberty, freedom, healing, deliverance, and God's nature. Oh, just look at the old covenant and you'll see that the nature of God was continually down, death, sacrifice, covering. Oh my gosh, don't do that. You know, something's going to happen. Isn't that not true? Okay. But what Jesus taught from that same scriptures, he taught liberty, healing, deliverance, freedom. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. In closing, I'm going to read this. It just stirs my soul. And this is like our confession for this evening. That God has never been broke, and the angels have never filed for bankruptcy. The streets of gold have never been used as collateral, and the New Jerusalem is not in foreclosure. God needs no bank loan, and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He needs no doctor, and he is the healer of all our diseases. He needs no lawyer, as his son is the greatest advocate and is ever living to make intercession for us. He requires no sleep, never uses an alarm clock, and is known to always work overtime without pay. He is a master chef, providing angels food for 40 years to 3 million hungry Israelite tent dwellers in a dry wasteland. He needs no educator, as the Holy Spirit is the mighty counselor. Satan found out nothing shakes up God, and he removes the hindrances and casts them out of his presence, like lightning falling from heaven. Fallen angels discovered that no rebellion or spiritual coup could oust the Almighty from his eternal throne. He plans in advance. Even before the world was made, he prepared a lamb from the foundation of the world. God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, where he wants, and with whom he wants. He has no successor, and before anything was, he was. He is the owner of the kingdom, and his son, Jesus Christ, is the overseer. And I am adopted son in that kingdom and a joint heir with his only begotten. I cannot be shaken because he cannot be shaken. If I slip, he will hold me. And if I fall, he picks me up. If I'm sick, he still makes house calls. And when I'm lonely, he's promised to be with me always, even until the end. The shaking is coming. A shaking is coming. A shaking is coming. But the shaker is my Father in heaven. Before he shakes things, he prepares arks for his Noahs and always ways of escapes for his Lots. Before he shakes things, he hides me in his secret place, or I am not afraid of the arrow by day or by night or the fires by night, neither the pestilence nor the snare of the fowler. There is no darkness in his light, nor fear in his might, no defeat in his fight, and no sin in his sight, as the blood has washed the stains white, and he has called us right. In other words, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? As we close this right here, I'm saying be careful what you hear. But more than that, be careful how you hear it. One person can actually say to you, oh, you're supposed to do such and such because God said so. Okay, really? Okay, how did you hear that? How did they hear that to give you that message? Okay, this is where the scripture calls it, it tells us to, in 1 Timothy, to try the spirits. Okay, and again, that's at another message which ties in together. I kind of condensed his things as much as I could here. But I know that the Spirit of God is moving right now in everybody. We got about 5 minutes here. And there was enough word that went forth in the service tonight to raise the dead. Did you know that? There is. There's enough word. Scripture says that one word of God can change anything. One word. It can be the word begat. It can be and. It can be the. But it's anointed from God if you believe it. If you believe it. If you hear what God has said to you tonight, okay, then you need to take this word and, like a farmer, you need to move some things around in your heart and plant that seed in your heart and ask God to water it so it will grow. Okay? I know there are individuals in here that God has shared with me. Again, I'm not Joe spiritual. That's not how this works. Okay? That you have desire to walk in the deeper things of God. You want to step into another area that you've never been before with God. Okay? How do you do that? Do you think it's just going to happen? Or do we need to take those steps? We have to take those steps. I shared that story with you about the little boys because he had to take steps, but he had no legs. How bad do you want to hear and be healed? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to hear from the Spirit of God to say, I need you to give a prophecy to the congregation because they're ill and they need to be healed? Are you listening to me, or do you tune me out? I was at a place in my life when that happened. I was a senior in high school, and the Lord asked me that question. He says, can I count on you? Can I count? I said, I'm only 19. He said, that's not the point. Can I count on you to be open to receive my spirit when I need you? That doesn't mean he's going to need me 24 hours a day. It doesn't mean that. But I need him 24 hours a day. Amen. There are times when he says, I need you to lay hands on that person and speak my word over him, over her, over them. And if you can walk in that obedience, then the Lord says he'll get the glory. It's not me. It's not the Larry show. It's not the United in Him show. It's not a show. It's Jesus and Him resurrected. God wants to move in every one of us in such a way that you're going to go, I never thought it was possible. But it is. It is. Are you saying, Larry, that I'm a deadbeat? No, not at all. No, we are on the path that we need to be. But if anybody wants to take a deeper step with God, then you need to come up here. You need to come up here. And if you don't, that doesn't mean that you don't want a deeper step with God. That doesn't mean that. God is wanting me to open the altars to say, I want my servant to lay hands on you, to break any yoke that may be upon you that's keeping you or hindering you from the deeper things of God. This is what God is calling us to. This is what God's calling us to. Hallelujah, Father, we lift you up. We lift up Jesus. We lift you up, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. As the instruction went out earlier this evening, you will hear from the Spirit of the living God, whether it will be in bed, if you wake up with a dream. God's going to minister to you and share some things with you that only He knows. I don't need to know. Pastor doesn't need to know unless you want to tell them. That's okay. God wants you well. He wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. He wants you walking where He wants you to walk. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. I believe it with you and for you. Hallelujah. The calling that God has on your life, okay, is something that He wants to take you, and He's going to take you personally. Meaning, you're going to do it step by step, inch by inch, precept upon precept, line upon line. Meaning, there's a practice time. You may have to just prophesy to the Lord, and He'll give you the interpretation. That's how He practices with us. Because He said that He would hide us in the secret place of the Most High. And that's where we learn the secrets of God. That's where David learned how to write the Psalms. He was hiding in the secret place of the Most High. He was allowing God to minister to him. Don't forget, this is Old Covenant. And he longed for the days like today. He longed for them. I'm going to turn this off.